Anyway, shall we begin?
Yeah, I'll hit the thingy.
Hit the thingy.
This is Rat Addicts After Hours.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Rack Addicts After Hours, a music and technology podcast. We're on episode 186. Thank you for your continued support, valued listener. I'm Ben, Peter's here, and there's no news at all, so we're going to have to chat about things, because of course that's what we do. Firstly, Pete, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I've been throwing myself to the mercy of AI.
I'm scared already.
Yes, I've just thrown in the towel and I'm just going for it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been signing up with all the various AI providers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these systems are in some sort of beta or limited access, so you have to sort of sign up and then
wait
and hopefully have a invitation email.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just decided that I'm going to go for it and really get with the program, so to speak, because I don't think there's any real way of fighting it.
I hope not. Or I hope there is. I don't know. It's all terrifying.
Mainly in the sort of graphic side of things, just to sort of shortcut the workflow process. But I see that even Adobe have added another AI feature to their suite.
The Photoshop one recently was quite cool. What's this latest one?
Well, the Photoshop one was Firefly, wasn't it?
I don't know what they called it.
But I think they've added something even more. The name escapes me, but they've added more extensions to it and more functionality to it. Because a lot of them now can do this. You present them with a picture.
Mm.
It could be a genuine picture or something that you've already generated on something like Midjourney. I think Midjourney can also do this, but several other programs. And then you can open up the field of view and it generates...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
The picture to the left, to the right, above.
Yeah, one of my colleagues was playing with that. Like, you can lasso around somebody's hair and go, new hairstyle or mullet, please.
There's a lot of that sort of just translating bits where you'd have to mask carefully and use various tools and spend a lot of time prepping the outlines and all this sort of stuff. It's just, you can automate it completely now.
Yeah, masking is nobody's favorite activity.
What I said when we started talking about AI generally a couple of months ago was that I did initially see it, and still do to a greater degree, as a productivity enhancing tool.
Totally. I mean, AI rotoscoping, brilliant. Nobody likes that job either.
Exactly. So the other element I want to get deep into is the animation element, which is looking very interesting.
My job, please. I like it. Actually, it's my favorite bit of my job. Don't take it away. What have you found?
There are some very interesting developments. And as you most probably or may not be aware, the developments keep coming thick and fast. The speed of progress is almost breathtaking.
Yeah.
I assume you've seen some of the AI videos generated.
No. I haven't seen anything since it was kind of pure AI generated video. And it was awful. It's like a dog walking somewhere and it looked terrible.
I know what you mean. It's got five legs and all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, it's super grainy and nothing was quite right.
It's still a bit weird, to put it that way, but people are managing to generate stuff that's quite long in length. And again, there's some really interesting programs where you generate something in Midjourney or your preferred AI graphic generator, and then you import that and then it will animate it. It takes that and develops it into a 3D type of affair, but it's not that advanced. It's more like a bit of parallax. So it starts sort of shifting the view, but it generates parts of the scene that it couldn't see or couldn't be seen from the initial shot.
Yeah.
So yes, just digging in and trying to understand, trying to get up to speed with my prompts and trying to figure out how I can best employ this in my day-to-day tasks and hopefully profit from it in some way.
Yeah, well, still hoping for some proper AI editing tools for audio.
Well, there is quite a lot of audio stuff. The sort of current trend that I'm aware of is getting a particular artist to sing someone else's cover in a different voice.
Heard a lot of those.
Preferably either sing something from someone who's deceased or vice versa, have someone who's deceased sing something current. There seems to be a bit of a trend for that on various social media platforms at the moment. I'm sure you've seen the ones where they've been doing film trailers in the style of...
No, I haven't come across that one.
So they take a popular film, say Star Wars or something like that, and then they go in the style of a completely different kind of director.
Yeah, interesting.
They'll generate a load of pictures using prompts like, can I have a Star Wars scene in the style of Wes Anderson?
Got it.
Or can I have a picture of Chewbacca in the style style of Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
They'll be framing it in the respect of talking about individual characters, but they'll swap around the actors. So it'll be different Hollywood actors. So there was...
like recasting films.
Yeah, recasting. But so they're recasting the film and changing the whole style of the film.
Yeah, weird. But mostly like movie poster style stuff.
Yeah, but it's still animated slightly. There's still this certain amount of movement and they're transitioning between the two. And they're quite amusing. There's been a lot, as I say, a lot of the Wes Anderson ones, and then they use lots of other sort of French avant-garde art house type films, and then plenty of them on YouTube. Yeah. You just have to summon them. You just go in there. I mean, and once you've looked at one, the YouTube's just going to show you hundreds more.
Yeah, yeah. The algorithm, it knows.
And I would imagine there's the similar trend on things like TikTok and YouTube Shorts and whatever Facebook's
short. I don't know that they have a direct equivalent. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, someone traded in an SM7B and I nearly grabbed it.
So, you'd have three of them.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking. Three.
Bit of an army.
But then we're all debating because we're looking at it. It was retailing at 190 quid.
How much are they? That doesn't...
370.
How much spit is covering that capsule is the
It was looking
question.
Quite good condition quite good. In the original box and everything.
Ah.
So we're all debating, going, oh, maybe I should buy that. And a load of other people sort of ogling it a bit. And then John came up, he goes, I'll just stick to my RE20. And I went, yeah, I think I'd rather just go and invest
I really want to try it.
He was explaining how much better he feels they are than SM7Bs.
Is that the guy with the harmonica ring?
Yes. So he was... saying that he thought the SM7B was a bit harsh, especially in the high end.
Well, we've discovered that a bit with the... It gets a bit crunchy.
Yeah, and it breaks up. Yeah, it can really break up as well. It does get very crunchy. He said the RE20's... way warmer sounding.
Yeah, I want to do SM7B versus RE20 versus KU5A, which is a ribbon mic that looks quite like this. Supposed to be a vocal mic for loud sources. Used it in a lot of the Scary Pockets YouTube stuff.
Okay.
It's about £1,000 though.
Oh dear.
Maybe it's like £800-900, but it's a chunk.
Because the other one that's really quite nice, is it the TLM 103,
Yeah, because the 102 is the one that I think sounds really brittle.
Yeah, and the 103 is the way more expensive one. Yeah, it's got the same...
It's a bit chunkier, but still kind of that.
It's got the same diaphragm as the U87, I believe, but it hasn't got the... I would imagine there's no valve in it. Or, well, there's not. It's too small. It can't have a valve in it. But
that's a good one.
But I think the RE20 is the one that's calling me.
Mm.
But they're so expensive.
600-ish?
Not quite that much, but up there. Way more expensive than the SM7Bs anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah, my colleague told me about fatlama.com.
Okay.
Which is just a rental website, sort of eBay-ish in flavour. So you just put your equipment up for people can rent it, which is kind of interesting. And I was looking for 360 cameras. I wanted to try one for a modcaf.
Yeah.
But see if someone's renting an RE20, shall we? £15 a day. Simon, 3 kilometres away. Or £20 a day. Damien. Oh, that's the RE320. I don't know what the difference is. Julian, £15 a day. Alan, £20.
There's a budget one, isn't there? The black one, which is a budget one. It's not an RE20, it's something else.
I'm sure they've USB-ified it to try and capitalise on the streaming
I hope
kind
not.
Of space.
I think those kind of mics are a bit of an abomination.
They are pretty crap.
Having an audio interface sort of squeezed in with everything else.
Yeah, and a headphone amp and all that as well.
Yeah.
So there's... RE20, RE20 Black, which I'm pretty sure is just a different colour. There's then the RE27N/D, which is a different capsule potentially. Broadcast announcers microphone, that one. Then there's the RE320. I think that's the cheap one.
Yeah.
RE20 Amazon 441. RE320, no, not on electrovoice.com. Yeah, 277, that's the cheap one.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Anyways, that's what I've been doing.
Lots of AI. Nice one. Not many days, in fact, since our previous recording, so limited activity, hence the limited news. But as fellow UK denizens will know, we've had some apocalyptic rain recently and I did get caught in it. I had an unfortunate betrayal of my usual train route planning service of choice. I thought, you know what, I'm going to try Trainline this time. And I didn't notice that it gave me a 16-minute walk in between two stations in the same town. And that's when the heavens opened on me. But it was a great test for my fancy Gore-Tex jacket that I think I mentioned before, which I've been cycling in. So I was perfectly dry from the waist up. Everything else I might as well have, you know, paddled in the sea. But most importantly, the journey that got me fully saturated was to a beer festival, but not a like a big public one. It's just a guy. And this one guy is technically a nano brewery because he has a capacity of 80 litres, I think, which was kind of cool. So I think his house had a converted garage, which was half conservatory, half brewery. And he had 7 beers of his own concoction on tap. And they were incredible.
Is that legal?
I have no idea. But it was brilliant. He is licensed. He had his paperwork.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was kosher.
Yes.
Yeah, paperwork on the wall. He's licensed to serve whatever. And yeah, it was amazing. But it made me think about man's need to shed. I imagine you're familiar with this phenomenon. You have quite an epic workshop, shed, garage type situation.
Yes.
Has that avenue, need, space existed your whole life?
Oh, yes.
So that there's always been a designated workshoppy physical manifestation of the inside of your brain type area?
Yes, definitely.
I don't know. What would happen if you didn't have the ability to have a place that was workshop / shed? Or use shed for a want of a better word. It doesn't have to physically be in a shed.
One, I'd be very frustrated and not be able to do anything because I always had a space, even as a child.
Yeah.
We had a garage which wasn't used to store a motor car.
Right.
And that was my domain from quite an early age. In fact, I used to build all sorts of strange things in there. At one stage, I converted it into a haunted house.
I think I remember you telling me this. Yeah. And you have some pretty fancy lighting going on.
Yeah, that's when I first got my kind of passion for display lighting and that type of thing. And it's amazing how much you can create the illusion of space in a very small space by building corridors and various things. So yes, you'd access it from a side door and then you'd go down various corridors and there'd be windows that revealed scenes of epic horror, kind of Halloween-y type
decorations.
Things and decorations and bits and pieces and bits of laboratory equipment, sort of chemistry set stuff and
you do
weird
the classic
lights.
Vinegar and baking soda volcano.
That
kind of
type
thing.
And then cheap tricks like little bits of string that hang down and brush your face in the dark and cobweb, you could get spray cobwebs and things like that. Yes, I used to do all that sort of stuff or build all sorts of other strange pieces of equipment. I think I said this before, Bex, and I was talking about growing up in the 60s and 70s and the lack of resources. And anything that I got interested in, I didn't have the funds or any way of generating the funds to get the real thing. So invariably, I would try and make it. And if you want to be making stuff, you need somewhere to make it.
Yeah.
And that, if we want to call it tradition, has carried on all my life.
Yeah.
So I've always required some space.
I thought you'd be the right person to ask about this. Do you reckon, members of our fellow hobby type area, do you reckon people that share in our hobby of strange musical somethings, do you think the studio is also a shed, spiritually speaking?
Yes, I think it's, or we could use the moniker of cave.
Yeah, of course. Doesn't have to be a man cave, but a cave of hobby and wonder.
Invariably, it's men, though.
Yeah, I think it is, weirdly.
And it's not always to escape the other half or anything like that.
No.
I mean, currently, I haven't got another half to escape, but I've always got the need to have a cave.
Yeah, because I have noticed some things about myself, which I think are because I've been repressing my urge to cave, because I don't have, there's nowhere for me to go.
Well, this is it. You've got to compartmentalize it and pack it away.
Exactly. I told you about the writing desk that I bought, but capacity-wise, it's not cutting the mustard, because it's a desk.
You need somewhere where you can close the door.
Close the door. Yeah, because always when I was growing up, I had my bedroom.
Yes.
And that was sufficient as a cave. Yeah, because I need somewhere to be able to leave the bike and work on the bike and have soldering possibilities and where tools can actually live instead of being buried in the one cupboard in the hall because that's the only place they will fit. Dilemma.
And if you've got a place where you can indulge yourself in various
crafts, I suppose,
activities, various creative pursuits, and it needs to be an area where you can make some mess as well. You're not going to ruin any soft furnishings or anything like that.
Yeah, an area where there can be mess and organization and productivity all at the same time.
Yeah, and you can be sorting stuff and just contemplating stuff.
Indeed. One day, I'll have a cave of some kind.
I think it's something buried deep in the male psyche.
It's interesting. Anyway, that's what's been going through my mind a little bit.
So what are you going to do about it?
I've no idea. The inspiration for the writing desk was actually... do you know the Tuesday Night Machines on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, so ages ago, he had a little tour of his IKEA wardrobe, which was a synth wardrobe. So you could sit at it and the doors open. There was a mixer kind of on the inside of one of the doors, and then all the modular was in there, which was brilliant because you can pack it away and it can be messy, but you can just close the doors on it. And the writing desk was less of a space commitment, but yeah, didn't quite do the thing. I think there is a possible version 2 of the writing desk. I don't have the synths to worry about because I'm working on all the Q121 stuff. I have the screen sits on top of it and the Genelec 8020s are crammed right next to it, and it's a very cramped situation.
Yeah, you need more space.
I do need more space.
You need your own space. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got the studio.
Mm. I've got the shed.
And my office.
Yeah, of course.
To be honest, most of the house is a cave.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, of course, you've got 3. Studio, office, and garage.
Yes. Amazing. And the garage is subdivided as well.
Oh, yeah.
Into
storage and workshop. And other workshop.
Yes.
So many different areas.
Yeah. Horses for courses.
Yeah. One day. And I'll be very excited whenever that one day is. But more happenings of this week. I have started reading a book because I finished reading another book, which is weird because I don't do much reading oftentimes. I finished Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, who is the guy who wrote The Martian, which is an awesome book, better than the film because there's just more of it, more detail, more science, more fun. And Project Hail Mary is a little bit more fanciful, a little bit more out there. The premise is the sun's output is slowly dropping and they find this particle called astrophage, and they have to go and fix it and stuff. And it's cool. Definitely would recommend. But it's more lighthearted than most of the sci-fi I've been reading. And I have moved on to Neuromancer, which is apparently the book that spawned the whole cyberpunk genre.
Yes.
And so far it's pretty cool. Have you read that one?
I haven't. I'm not much of a reader. But I am aware of that particular publication.
Could be a good audiobook, actually. So far I think it might be up your street in its world building and general ambience. I'm sure there'll be an audiobook of it. It's old and famous. Finally, I have news of the test chamber variety. We have a tentative capacity, which is over the hundreds, which is brilliant. So we'll actually be able to have a large audience in the return circuit. We also have a date that the tickets will be available for both days. That is the 17th of August, and they will be available from our website, the exact link to be determined. 17th of August, tickets will be available for Test Chamber Live, both days, the 30th of September and the 1st of October.
I see.
Oh my.
I've been promoting it.
Good stuff.
To anyone that will listen.
Awesome. Well, soon, there is now a date and there is a place to go, almost. Let me give you a rundown of what's happening. On the Saturday, 30th of September, which is the day Bristronica is on, there is a modular cafe in the aeroplane shed, hosted by me, which will be fun. That's going to be try and keep it nice and open, attract new faces and make it really interactive and fun. We have the modular cafe and the community kind of session where members of the cafe are interacting with more conventional local musicians, including a local Nepali band. I think we've got a choir involved, as well as potentially some jazz musicians, so that'll be super cool. That's in the return circuit. And then we have the first of 2 evenings of Test Chamber artists performing their tracks in the return circuit. Sunday 1st, we have a tour of Q121 with the Fast Museum. We then have the DIY session making a disintegrated crackle box with PNP Modular. We then have a Void Null show in the return circuit, and the final evening of Test Chamber Artists. It's going to be very exciting.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed. Have you answered the doodle poll for your availability?
No, I'm going to do it today.
Get on it. Good.
So I'm just going to fill out the poll and then get you the instructions on...
Oh, the written mastering notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes.
Cool.
Q121.
Indeed.
So I think it's time for a bit of Expressive Osmo news.
Yes.
December.
But yours?
December.
December. Fully confirmed?
That's why I've shifted my expectations to seeing it December.
Right.
When were they supposed to be? May? June?
No idea. I've lost track.
It was months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Will we get to 4 years? It will be 4 years by the from first mention to actually having one.
So that was the significant... I was saying to people in the store,
yeah,
my colleagues, when I eventually get this, it will have been a 4-year wait.
Damn. There's lots of more kind of content popping up for it, and it's just as awesome and exciting as I always thought it would be.
I think I will be pleased when I get it, but I've got no built-up anticipation. It's been so long that
long gone.
Yeah, it's just faded out.
Mm.
So there was that. I also got a flight case from Thomann for the DeepMind 6 in preparation for the
DeepMind the 3rd, 4th? I've lost track already.
That's the 4th one.
DeepMind the 4th, yeah.
And then there's the 5th one coming soon. I know.
Madness.
Yes.
It's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation, and Pete's going to go first, because I don't.
Okay, thank you for that one.
Dropping you in it.
Right. On the theme of podcasts, carrying on from last week and the one I recommended.
Oh, yeah. If you want your weekly dose of AI claustrophobia.
Yeah, this one also touches on AI and other subjects, but it does have a bit of this, I wouldn't necessarily say male empowerment, but this kind of improve yourself, be a better person to it to a degree. But this podcast can be viewed and listened to on YouTube under the banner of Chris Williamson. But the actual podcast is called Modern Wisdom.
Mm.
I don't know if I've got this right, but for some reason in the back of my mind, I think this Chris Williamson was on Love Island at one stage, or was a Love Island contestant.
Oh dear.
He's English, or British, I should say, but his podcast, I believe he hosts it in America, or certainly talks to a lot of American guests, but he does have quality people on there. People like Sam Harris and other such luminaries. But I don't know if you've noticed this, depending on how many podcasts you listen to or any of these type of things, but you get a spate of the same guests doing the rounds of all the podcasts.
Right. Kind of like the synth YouTubers all getting the same synths at once.
Yeah, somewhat.
It's all the podcast.
I suppose if someone's written a book, they want to get that as much as possible. But this gentleman has got 1.1 million subscribers on YouTube, so it's a pretty healthy listenership. And obviously, I would imagine you can listen to the podcast on
the usual everywheres.
Yes, exactly. So various episode titles include such things as Why Are People Falling in Love with Robots?
Interesting and scary.
An Economist's Guide to Avoiding a Life of Misery.
How uplifting.
10 Habits of the World's Most Successful People. Is eating meat bad for your health and longevity?
That's a big question.
16 life-changing ideas you've never heard of, and so forth. And these go on and on, and there is reams of this stuff on this particular channel. So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel entitled Chris Williamson.
Good stuff. For a musical nugget this week, if you like your tunes jazzy, fusion-y, and with an unreasonable amount of musicality, head to Nate Smith Drums YouTube channel, and the video is Nate Smith Skip Step feat Lionel Luke, I don't know, and Michael League. So you have people that are potentially involved with Snarky Puppy and Wolfpack, and it's rather groovy and syncopated and amazing, and it's 7 minutes long. Have at it. Nate Smith Skip Step. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 186 of Rack Addicts After Hours. We do hope you'll visit again next week. Until then, farewell!